Good morning and welcome to our site. Well, with Christmas just a few weeks away, we're thinking about the events around the birth of the Lord Jesus about 2,000 years ago, and what wonderful events and what an amazing selection the Lord had in the people he chose in the preparation of the birth of Jesus on earth. And so I've entitled our sermon this morning, God's Christmas Selection. If you have a Bible with you, and I do hope you have a Bible handy, please turn to the Gospel of Luke in the New Testament, Luke chapter 1, and we're going to read these wonderful events from Luke chapter 1 and verse 5. In the time of Herod the king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty, he was serving as priest before God. He was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time came for the burning of the incense, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside the temple. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never going to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah, wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. And when he came out, he couldn't speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." In the 6th month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her 6th month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Just so far, and may God bless his word to us this morning. God's Christmas selection. Friends, when I think of God's Christmas selection, the people he chose from all eternity to be the right people to usher the Messiah into this world, when I think of his timing for the incarnation of our Lord, I'm reminded once again that God's ways are not our ways. They are so different, so much higher than our ways. So often God chooses differently to what we would have chosen. So often he does the opposite of what we would have done. Again and again, God delights in choosing the most ordinary people for his purposes. Don't you find that encouraging this morning? And I'm reminded of the words of the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth. Think about those God calls, he says, not many wise by human standards, not many who are influential, not many of noble birth. Time and again, God chooses the weak, the lowly, and those the world looks upon as of no account. So it is with God's Christmas selection. Elizabeth and Zechariah, Mary and Joseph, lowly shepherds, Simeon and Anna, and the one who is born king is placed in a feeding trough for a bed, because there isn't even a place for him at the backpacker's inn. None of these people would ever have imagined the critical role that they would play in God's great story. They were just ordinary people like you and me. So take a fresh look at them for a few moments this morning. First up in Luke's history are Elizabeth and Zechariah, both from priestly stock, schooled in the laws of Moses from childhood. Every year they celebrated the feasts and fasts of the Lord, Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, trumpets, the Day of Atonement, Pentecost, Hanukkah, Purim. Twice a year, Zechariah served in the temple in Jerusalem, the high point of his priesthood. Elizabeth was proud of her husband's service for the God of Israel, but perhaps those were the times when more than ever she faced the disappointment of her barren womb. She would draw water on her own, while other mothers took the opportunity to enjoy the fellowship with one another and revel in the laughter of their children at play. 40 years ago, Elizabeth would never have imagined she would grow old childless. For 2 decades, she had reminded the Lord of how he had answered the prayers of Sarah and Rachel and Hannah. Why had he not answered her prayers? But now all hope was gone. As for Zechariah, his walk was slower, his shoulders slightly bent now, and the years were taking their toll on him too. It was a long trek to Jerusalem. The city was beautiful, the temple spectacular, but its magnificence was bittersweet to Zechariah, a temple built by Herod the Great, a son of Edom, on the backs of his overtaxed countrymen. He was not Israel's king, this Herod. The remnant of the Hebrew nation were awaiting their real king, a Messiah in the line of David. Zechariah mourned the decline of his city and nation, the political intrigue that was going on decade after decade, the profiteering, the sickening materialism that now trumped mercy and justice and faithfulness. But the old priest was devoted to his service. The God who chose David had also chosen him to serve as priest, and Zechariah was thankful. Priests who lived in the hill country away from Jerusalem slept in a series of rooms that formed the interior of the temple wall in Jerusalem. Every night Zechariah prayed for his wife's situation. There she was alone at home. Every night Zechariah probably prayed that God would send his Messiah to deliver his people from the dominion of Rome. The hope of God ever opening Elizabeth's womb was long gone, but the hope of Israel still burned in his heart. It had been 4 long centuries since a Hebrew prophet had received a fresh revelation concerning the coming Messiah, the bursting in of the kingdom of God. Along with the other 23 priests in his course, Zechariah went about his duties early up every morning, seeing to the utensils and getting everything ready for the worship service and for prayer, and soon the worshippers would be flocking the temple. The Levite choir would sing on the steps of the outer court, perhaps from Psalm 24, "Lift up your gates, you lift up your heads, you gates, lift up your ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in." When the preparatory tasks were complete, all the utensils ready, one priest would be chosen to enter the holy place and burn incense and pray. On this day, the privilege belonged to Zechariah. When that duty was done, he would move from the holy place to pronounce the Aaronic blessing on the worshippers outside. Left alone in the holy place, separated from the most holy place by a thick, ornate veil, on his right the table of showbread, on his left the golden lampstand illuminating the room, Zechariah the priest moved to the altar of incense. There he prayed for the consolation of Israel and burned the sacred incense. It was the highest and holiest moment of his life. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him. Luke 1 verse 11. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord." Zechariah asked, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." Zechariah squinted through the smoke of the incense, but the angel was gone. Meanwhile, verse 21, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. With his head spinning and his heart still trembling, he emerged from the holy place and faced the restless crowd. On seeing him, they hushed in expectant silence, waiting for the Aaronic blessing. "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you. The Lord turn toward you and give you his peace." Zechariah opened his mouth to speak, but nothing came out. Another priest prompted him, and then another. With hand gestures, he tried to explain his predicament. Then, realizing that something exceptional had happened to the old priest, another one pronounced the blessing to the bewildered worshippers. It took a while for Zechariah to gather himself and process what had happened. One thing was certain: he couldn't speak, and the angel who told him it would be so was gone. But the words the angel spoke, why, they would be played over and over in his mind in the coming weeks and months. Their prayers, Elizabeth's prayers and his prayers, even the prayers they prayed 3 or 4 decades ago, had been heard. And they were about to be answered. "Elizabeth will bear you a son," the angel said, and gave the name John, a name that meant "God is gracious." "And he will be a source of joy and delight to you both," the angel said, "and a cause of rejoicing in the lives of a vast number of people." The angel said he will be great in the eyes of the Lord, this John, and he will bring many Israelites back to the Lord their God. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his birth. He will be a prophet like Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. Zechariah was already calculating how many days it might be before he could share this amazing news with Elizabeth. But he couldn't speak. The angel Gabriel had told him, in fact, that he wouldn't speak again until the prophetic word from God was fulfilled. He would be dumb until the baby was born. Now, nestled at the base of a hill was an insignificant village called Nazareth, often viewed as an inconvenient obstacle for travelers passing from the Sea of Galilee to the great Mediterranean Sea. But Nazareth was the home to a sweet and innocent girl named Mary. She lived in a very modest home. Her parents were poor by our standards, well, most of us today. But they were devoted worshippers of the God of Abram, Isaac, and Jacob, and they loved the Holy Scroll, the book, the law, the prophets, the writings. And young Mary had learned to recite many scriptures. She loved the Psalms of David, and when alone going about her household chores, she would sing or hum along. Though still in her teens, she had a song in her heart about her future, too. She was formally betrothed, and now daily she imagined what the future would be like, married to Joseph. One day she and the good-looking young carpenter would raise a family, and together they would play and sing and dance and be faithful worshippers of the God of their fathers, the Holy One of Israel. Joseph would share the story of the Exodus from Egypt, the tabernacle in the wilderness, the parting of the Red Sea and the waters of the Jordan, the story of Moses and the law, the Ten Commandments, and all the worship traditions of the Hebrew people. Silently Mary prayed, O God, make me a suitable helper for Joseph. Make me a happy mother of children. Her prayer was interrupted by an uninvited guest. The room blazed with light. Mary trembled and shielded her eyes. Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Now Mary squinted into the brightness, too fearful to move or say a word. But the angel said, Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. Look at the angel's words, verse 31 of Luke chapter 1. You will be with child, Mary, and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, Yeshua. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary recognized the biblical descriptions from scores of scriptures read to her, and the song she had sung about the Messiah, the Son of David. Bewildered, overcome, trembling, she composed herself to ask, But how will this be? How could I bear a child? I'm not married yet. I'm only engaged. I'm betrothed. Joseph and I aren't yet married. I'm a virgin. I've never slept with a man. This will come about, and not in the usual way, Mary, the angel answered. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you, Mary. And so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Why, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be barren is in her 6th month. For nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, said Mary. Mary was puzzled, afraid, flabbergasted. A baby for Elizabeth? She's past the age to give birth. The angel read her thoughts. In a tone of gentle but loving rebuke said, Remember, Mary, nothing is impossible with God. Wide-eyed and willing, the humble teenage Mary responded in a beautiful, humble word of submission, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. A different response to the weary Zechariah's skeptical doubt that left him unable to speak a word. But friends, once again we see how God delights to choose the weak and those whom the world considers foolish or of no consequence. As always with God, the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. Mary had cultivated a servant heart, and a servant heart always stands a good chance of being an obedient heart. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Our servant heart is likely to be also an expectant heart, a trusting heart. Have your way, Lord. Have your way is what Mary was saying in her heart. And the angel left her. But the words of the angel reverberated in her mind. Favored one, I am favored by God. Not only known, but favored. You will bear a son, the angel said. Me, a virgin? Bearing a son? conceived by the Holy Spirit of God, a son conceived in me by God himself, and he must be given the name Yeshua, Jesus, Savior. He will reign on David's throne forever, the angel had said. What an amazing story, friends. When you look at God's Christmas selection of people to usher in the birth of the Christ, what a wonderful God we serve. Well, what lessons can we take home this morning from this remarkable piece of the story of God's Christmas selection? His selection of Elizabeth and Zechariah and Mary and her carpenter fiancé Joseph. Lesson number one, God loves to include ordinary people like you and me in his story of salvation. Friend, God loves to include ordinary people like you and me in his story of salvation. Little people like you and me become the recipients of his grace and the heroes of heaven. Isn't that encouraging? God is not impressed by titles and status and worldly wealth and show. God is attracted to humility and lowliness and trust. Second lesson, with God nothing is impossible. He is able. He is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or even imagine, says the Apostle Paul, when his mighty power is at work within us. Friend, I don't know what you're facing today or at this time of the year. Perhaps you have been left lonely and will miss a loved one this Christmas for the first time. Perhaps you're not well. Perhaps you're in hospital and perhaps you're sick at home or perhaps you're struggling with a particular temptation. Perhaps you're going through a hard time in this economic recession. Dear friend, God's Christmas selection of ordinary people and the way in which he hears and answers prayer reminds us that with God nothing is impossible. Nothing is too hard for the Lord, even in your situation right now. I pray that he'll fill you with his peace, which surpasses human understanding, and that the joy of the Lord, God's joy, put in your heart through the Holy Spirit, will fill you over this Christmas season. Yes, God loves to include ordinary people like you and me in his story of salvation. And we learn also from the story of Christmas that with God nothing is impossible. And then third lesson, the worship of God should be our reason for living, the glory of God our motivation for service, and the presence of God our highest prize. And finally, we learn from these characters that God chose in his grace and kindness to usher in the coming of the Messiah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus, the Savior. We learn from their story that submission to the will of God is the only pathway to eternal significance and eternal reward. These are the lessons we can take home from God's Christmas selection. God loves to include ordinary people like you and me in his story of salvation. With God, nothing is impossible. The worship of God should be our reason for living, the glory of God our motivation for service, the presence of God our highest prize. Submission to the will of God, friend, is the only pathway to eternal significance and eternal reward. Shall we pray? Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Christmas story. We realize it's your story, Lord, and we see once again that your ways are higher than ours and so often so different to ours. We would have done all of this so differently. In these days of television and such advanced technology, why, we would have made sure that the whole earth knew about the Savior, and we probably would have planned the presence of kings and presidents, and we probably would have arranged the best situation, the best maternity room in the whole world. We would have done all of this so differently, dear Lord, to the way in which you did it. But we receive such encouragement this morning from the way in which you choose ordinary people like us. And you show us your grace, and you reveal Jesus to us when we're humbly willing to receive the truth that Jesus is a Savior perfectly suited to our need, that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by him. And we can respond to the invitation of Jesus this morning when he says, "Come to me. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And so we respond to the invitation of the Savior this morning and commit our lives into your hands with thanksgiving. Pray your blessing over this Advent and Christmas season, Lord, your blessing upon every listener, every family represented. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, our Heavenly Father, the communion and comfort of the Holy Spirit be with you all evermore. Amen.
Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed.